A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Chav Ches, Ksubas 28a, pagination 55, towards the bottom of the page, Masnisin at the end of a line, a new Mishnah. Normally, if a person sees something when he is not yet bar mitzvah, he would not be able to testify to it after he becomes a bar mitzvah. The laws of Eidos testimony are such that a person has to be a legal halachic adult in order to say testimony, and that includes as well when he saw the thing to which he wants to testify. There are exceptions. As a general rule, in certain areas of rabbinic law, they allowed a person above bar mitzvah to testify to something that he saw before he was bar mitzvah. And the idea, presumably, is that normally there's a level of responsibility required, even in seeing something, a level of maturity. And normally, even though you are now above bar mitzvah and certainly don't intend to lie, but you saw it at a time when you did not have that level of responsibility, and therefore, most of the time, such testimony would not be accepted. The exceptions are listed in our Mishnah. Ve'elu ne'emonim l'ha'id b'godlan masha'ra'u b'kotanon. The following people are believed to say, when they are adults, what they saw when they were still legally children, underage, less than bar mitzvah. Ne'eman odom lomar, a person is believed to say, ze ksav yado shel abo, this is the signature of my father, ve'ze ksav yado shel rabbi, this is the signature of my rebbe, ve'ze ksav yado shel achi, and this is the signature of my brother. So that if he was still a child, he couldn't say testimony at all. But if now he's an adult and he's saying testimony that he saw the signature when he was a child, we're going to believe him, because these are unique relationships that are described as ragil imahim. He is familiar with them. He's frequent with them. So even though the signature only existed and was only available, was only seen by him when he was a child, and that's when he knew and he verified and he locked it in his mind that that's how the signature looks, but he's believed now as an adult to testify to that effect and to validate a document based on that recollection. This rule would not be true by other people's signatures. It's only because these people are ragil, are people that he's particularly familiar with. The reason for the leniency, as the Gemara says it, is kiyum shtaros midrabanan, to verify a shtar, a document, is a rabbinic requirement. Hemnua rabanan bidrabanan. So the rabbis accepted his testimony because it's rabbinic and they have that right to make the guidelines for a rabbinic rule. But again, normally you can't say testimony on what you saw when you were a child. The Mishnah continues, Zachar Hayisi, I remember, Beplonis, that woman, Shayatza Behenuma Verosha Parua, that her hair was made up in the way of unmarried women when she went to her chasna. The inference being that she must have been a besula, and the ksuba that she's entitled to coming off of this marriage is 200, like a besula, like an unmarried woman. Had the woman been able to produce the ksuba document from this marriage, you wouldn't need this testimony. But as we mentioned in a previous Mishnah, if there is no ksuba available, this would be a testimony that would be accepted. And the Gemara says the leniency to accept the testimony of a person who remembers it from their childhood is because Rov Noshem Besulos Nisaos, because most women are getting married as a first marriage, the Gemara says, and Gilui Milsa Ba'almahu, it's just to reveal something, to confirm something that we already assumed. And therefore, the Rabbanon said that we accept the testimony. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Yedalid, adds another aspect. He says, Ksuba midivrehem. Ksuba is rabbinic, and they have the right to accept his testimony to affirm how much she is supposed to get. The Mishnah continues and tells us that if this person remembers that a certain person of his childhood, of his group, was allowed to eat teruma, then we would believe him regarding teruma d'rabbanon. Likewise, first wide line, ve'ad kan hayinu boyim b'shabbos, and he's allowed to say that the border of the city, as far as Tchum Shabbos, how far you're allowed to walk outside the city, 2,000 amos, is also something that he's believed in to say that he recalls it from his childhood, because again, it's a derabbanon. Tchum at 2,000 amos is rabbinic. Aval ein adam ne'eman lomar, but a person would not be believed to say, derech haya leploni b'mokam hazeh, that a person had rights of passage through someone else's field in this place. That's a financial matter. You're being motzi mamon, you're taking money, assets, away from somebody else based on your testimony, and he would not be believed on that. Maimid umispeid haya leploni b'makom hazeh, or likewise, that a certain person had the rights to have his eulogies in this location, on the way to the cemetery, the dead people of his family, this was the procedure to the family plot, that's also something that you're taking rights away from somebody else, and he would not be believed. This Mishnah is specifically talking about a person who's growing up in a way that he anticipates his bar mitzvah, a Jewish boy growing up. If, however, we were dealing with a non-Jew, even an adult, who wants to say testimony now about what he saw before he was miskayer, the halacha is different. In Simen Lamed Hei, Sif Zayin, Kol Elu, all of these leniencies that we just listed on a child growing up, anticipating his bar mitzvah, and then he would say the testimony. But if you're dealing with Akum, Achar Shenisgayer, a person after he converted and wants to say testimony on what he saw before he converted, Eino Ne'emon, that's not considered in this same set of leniencies. And the Sma explains, because Milsa de la Ramya Alei, Omar Velava Daite, because at the time that he saw it, it never occurred to him that he was going to be saying testimony about it in a Jewish court. And therefore, we have this rule which we encountered on a number of occasions, that if when a person does or sees something, it never occurred to him that it's going to have significance, then it goes into a different part of the memory, and he doesn't analyze it the same way that he would if he knows that he has to testify. And apparently over here, even if right now he's not able to testify because he's a child, but he knows at some point, he anticipates, they might call upon me to verify this information. We encountered it, very fascinating case, regarding a person who says, I was never behind that building. And in the laws of testimony, if we can prove he was behind that building, he would be a false witness. He would be considered a liar. But if it turns out that the only reason he was behind that building was because he used it as a bathroom, he relieved himself behind that building, the Gemara says that proving that he was once behind that building for such a reason doesn't prove that he's a liar. Because Milsa de la Ramya alei de inish, something that a person never thinks he's going to be called to testify for, goes into a different part of the memory. Velava daite, he doesn't remember it, he doesn't pay attention to it, and he can't be held accountable for denying something that's not considered a testimony type of thing. And that's this concept that if a person witnesses something but has some level of anticipation that he'll be called upon to verify accurately that information, then he can be accepted in these specific, more lenient cases. But if a person, upon witnessing it, never anticipated that he's going to be expected to say testimony in a Jewish court, then his perception of the event is not as critical, and therefore his memory is not as accurate. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.